Lesson number 9, the former rain. The memory verse says, "For the promise is to you and to your children." Now, we can claim to be the children of the folk long ago, and to all that are afar off. From the day of Pentecost, we are afar off by thousands of miles and 2,000 years. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him may receive this promise. And this week we are going to concentrate on the former rain, or the autumnal rain. As the introductory thought says, Pentecost began the partial fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. I think you ought to read Joel 2, 23, 28, and 29, side by side with Acts 2, 16 to 21. And you will discover that Peter brings in a little particle. Joel says, "I will pour out my spirit." Peter says, "I will pour out of my spirit." And that is very important. The outpouring of the Spirit in the days of the apostles was the beginning or the early or the former rain. Glorious was the result. The end of time, the presence of the Spirit is to abide with the true church. Near the close of earth's harvest, a special bestowal of spiritual grace is promised to prepare the church for the coming of the Son of Man. This outpouring of the Spirit is likened to the latter rain. Part number 1, Pentecost. As we mentioned, 10 days were spent in preparation. In the upper room, the disciples were doing everything they could to be ready. They had a part to do. They had heart searching to carry out. They had inter-social, familial, brotherly, sisterly relationships, unfinished business to complete. And when heaven saw that this work there was completed, suddenly there was a sound, rushing, mighty wind. The place was shaken where they were, some kind of an earthquake. When we think of Elijah's experience, thunder and lightning and earthquake and a great wind and then a still small voice, there are parallels in the upper room. Instead of the still small voice, there were tongues of fire, and the voice went out from there. There was a great wind. There was a great earthquake. There was a great sound. And so, the gift of the Spirit comes from heaven when God's people on earth are prepared. Jesus' estimate of John the Baptist, that he was a burning and a shining light. Burning gives warmth. Shining gives illumination. John was a combination of warmth and light. And we should be the same. Sometimes you can share the light in a cold, unfeeling manner. But remember that the tongue comes like fire. It's illuminating, it's igniting, it's warming. And God put this picture in Acts chapter 1. As soon as this gift came, the believers began to speak with other languages. Now, the charismatic movement in the last century or so has brought to the fore the fact that there is some spiritual language that only the interpreters can understand. This is not the place to look into the study of tongues, but every use of tongues is for communication. the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul lists more than a dozen illustrations of how sound is to communicate message. And then he says, tongues are not for believers. It's not in a group of believers that tongues are manifested. Tongues are for non-believers. The gift of the Spirit of prophecy is for believers. Ellen White is not for non-believers, she is for believers. And tongues are not for believers, they are for non-believers. And so the gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost, the gift of tongues before Cornelius, were the gift of speaking in languages to people who couldn't otherwise understand them. The Holy Spirit did for the disciples that which they could not have accomplished for themselves in a lifetime. They could now proclaim the truths of the gospel abroad, speaking with accuracy the languages of those for whom they were laboring. This miraculous gift was a strong evidence to the world, the non-believers, that their commission of the disciples bore the signet of heaven. From this time forth, the language of the disciples was pure, simple, and accurate, whether they spoke in their native tongue or in a foreign language. I've already always appreciated that as the class I took many decades ago with Charles Winniger. He would talk about the native tongue as a gift from the Spirit, spoken pure, simple, accurate language. And so the gift of tongues can apply to speakers today as it did then. Who talk in their own language, and to speakers who have to talk to others. Peter was the main spokesman whose sermon has been recorded by the Spirit. All the other disciples were preaching too in different areas, different languages, and bringing multitudes to join in that great baptismal service that was held. Part number two, there were seven results of Pentecost, seen in Peter's sermon. First, the exposure of sin. You have crucified Jesus of Nazareth. The Holy Spirit then brought conviction of sin. They were pricked to their hearts. The Spirit then induced repentance. We are sorry for what we have done. How can we undo it? Baptism, spiritual devotion, love and sharing of everything they had, a health message that brought about healing, body and mind, and then of courage to witness in the face of terrifying persecution that was brought about by the priests and the scribes and Pharisees. To us today, as verily as to the first disciple, the promise of the Spirit belongs. God will today endow men and women with power from above, as he endowed those who on the day of Pentecost heard the word of salvation. At this very hour, his Spirit and his grace are for all who need them and will take him at his word. You know, as I hear the progress of global mission, which I read in the review and other publications, of how the work is going in South America, in Central America, in Russia, in the Far East, in Indonesia, in the Philippines. Thousands and thousands of people are accepting. The message is being proclaimed in hundreds of tongues. We here in the United States and in certain parts of Europe have had our turn. We've had the gospel preached here for 100 years, 150 years. Now it's the turn for other people. And we can see how the same Spirit is bringing about enormous results today. Part number three. The experience of Pentecost is to be repeated. It was repeated in apostolic times. See, after the blaze of Pentecost, the baptism of thousands, persecution sprung up. And Peter and John were flung into prison. They were beaten. They were insulted. Ridiculed. But God wasn't finished with them yet, and he wasn't finished with the proclamation of the gospel, and so in his mysterious providence they were released. Dire warning. But they didn't stop. They had received the unction of the Holy Spirit, and they continued to preach. Jesus had said, when you receive the Spirit, make your witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so within a few chapters, the beginning of Acts, we see some of the apostles going up into Samaria and doing exactly what Christ had said. Philip, Spirit-filled preaching, moved multitudes in Samaria. Now we can give him credit for that great turning to Christ of the Samaritans. But let's not forget that on a noontide summer day, Jesus had talked to a nameless woman of Samaria, brought conviction of sin into her heart and transformation of life, and started out a movement in Samaria by her. But multitudes were attracted to Christ then, and now, some months or years later, when Philip preached, the seeds that had already been sown now spring forth and produce great results. Thus, the outpouring of the Spirit upon the Samaritan believers was given after baptism, when Peter and John visited Samaria and prayed for them. This is a further illustration of how the Spirit's ministry works. In Cornelius' case, Spirit was given before. They were Gentiles. Jewish Christians needed to be convinced that God accepted the Gentiles as readily as he did the Jews. Hence the Spirit was poured out upon these Gentiles before baptism, as evidence that they were thoroughly qualified to be baptized and become regular members. Part number four. The former reign in individual experience. Now we thought of Nicodemus many times. Pharisee, ruler, the theological teacher in Israel. Individually, Spirit worked in his heart. Not born of water and the Spirit, will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so we see in the quiet way the Spirit worked for Nicodemus to prepare him so that at the time of the crucifixion he could take his step and work with Joseph of Arimathea to prepare the crucified for his burial in the new tomb. So the Spirit works in individual lives, individual experience, and he'll work in us, individual too. Part number five. Why is the former reign vitally important? We have mentioned several times before. It's vitally important because no seed could germinate without it. The seed wouldn't germinate in dry powder soil. It needs moisture to swell the grain, to trigger the divine mechanism within it to start germinating. God provides the rain. God makes possible the germination. God brings the new life into being. The farmer doesn't do this. The farmer is to prepare the soil and to sow the seed. So in the individual life, the former rain teaches in righteousness, induces preparation, as we saw in the upper room, acceptance of the promise, acceptance of the word, belief that something is going to happen, belief that a change can come about, a weighing of the evidence as it was done in the preaching of Peter on the day of Pentecost, a weighing of the evidence as it was done by Cornelius and his household when Peter gave them a Bible study, a weighing of the evidence and a gathering together of previous experience which the Samaritans had done, all these previous works of God through the Holy Spirit in preparation need the touch of the early rain to trigger the new birth, the change. Now in this section 5, there are 2 points that are emphasized. Faithful Christians are complete in Christ now. Now that can be a misleading statement. They can be complete in Christ now, but not yet complete. Part number 2, continuous spiritual growth results in continual perfection of Christian character. So there is a now and not yet. Now how can we be complete in Him? Now, as a babe, as a little boy or girl, as a child, as a young person, as a young man or woman, as a middle-aged man or woman, as an older person. So at every stage we can be complete in Him. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn and the ear. Perfect blade, perfect ear, perfect full corn and ear. And so we must remember that while we are complete in Christ, this is a process. It's a growth. Perfection, telos, is the optimum possible to a babe, to a child, to a boy, to a teenager, to a young person, to a mature person, to an older person. And at every stage, the Holy Spirit helps us to be complete in Him. This early rain that begins is extremely vital. Many have in a great degree failed to receive the former rain. They expect that the lack in their lives will be supplied by the latter rain. But God must begin the work, and God will finish the work. And those who hope that sometime in the future God will work a miracle are making a terrible mistake. Part number 6. How can we be sure that we are enjoying these blessings? By doing exactly what the disciples did in the upper room.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.